So meditation, excuse me, meditation involves bringing a spacious attention to whatever is happening. Right here, right now. Cultivating the intention, the remembrance, and a practice of simply pausing. Like that. Much of the time in our daily lives, and it's certainly what we often encounter when we sit down and try to be quiet, is that we're really kind of cast about by whatever sensations or perceptions or ideas or thoughts or stories or emotions happen to be flitting across our brain. And so we're sort of like pushed and pulled here and there with all kinds of busyness and often without terribly much consciousness. So meditation is about really kind of letting ourselves pause so that we can actually see what's happening and have a choice about, well, what do we do about that? Or what do we do with it? It's simply a matter of seeing it. We're not trying to get rid of all of that stuff so much as remembering what matters. Just remembering what matters. It's really, I imagine, what brings each of us here today. Huh? Because something matters. What leads to happiness? What should be attended to? What might be there, but we might let go of it and not engage with it too much? What's important? I was thinking that if I knew for sure that I was going to die at 3:30 this afternoon, excuse me, I'm recovering from that cold that every one of you has also had. It might be a real impetus for me to really get very clear about what matters. You know, how would I spend my time? What would I bring my energies to? What would I bring my mind to? It's not such an outlandish idea, actually. I have a friend, or had a friend, Daniel, who went from the time of his terminal diagnosis to the time that he died, it was 6 days. My daughter has a friend for whom it was 4 days. You know, what would we remember? What would matter to us? This new year, this moment in new year, is often a time for us to kind of dig a little deeper and contemplate, what do I want to bring my attention, my energies, my care to, and what do I want to let go of? Let me pause for a moment here and invite you to contemplate. If you had a diagnosis that said 3:30, you have until 3:30 this afternoon, what most deeply matters to you? What would you fill your awareness with? I won't get, and none of us will get answers from the outside. It really requires a willingness to pause out of all those thoughts and perceptions and stories and narratives and regrets and expectations, and to really simply contemplate deeply what's important. Once we have that sense, the challenge, really the hard part, is to remember in the thick of things. To remember, I was noticing while I was reading the Washington Post this morning, to remember in the thick of things what matters, what deeply matters. What should guide today my thoughts, my heart? What emotions might need my attention or not? My actions? What matters? And we don't have to be meditators to do that contemplation. It just happens that the meditation practice is a practice of cultivating that skill a little bit more deliberately, but you're doing it too in your own spiritual practices, remembering what matters. And we can all relate to how hard it is. Unlike the images in the media, meditation or spiritual practice isn't really about killing off all that stuff that goes on in our minds or making the world incredibly serene. One of my teachers refers to what happens in our minds when we sit down to meditate as sort of like what happens with a flock of birds, you know, that something touches one of the birds and then all of them take off. And we can kind of relate. And you've all heard the stories about monkey mind. And you go, yeah, yeah, I know that one, you know. And sometimes when we sit to meditate, we can think that that's sort of unique to us somehow, that that's a particularly personal problem. And it's not. You know, the world has monkeys in it. And so the challenge really is kind of developing the skill to navigate monkeys successfully and skillfully. It's not about monkey genocide somehow or killing off all the birds. It's not about that. That's not what our spiritual practice is about. And so I want to end with a personal story about monkeys. And I offer it as a bit of a metaphor. I'll qualify it a bit at the end. Like all metaphors, it is limited, but it's, in my mind, kind of a useful metaphor. I'm lucky enough most winters to spend some time in Bali. I go for an early morning walk every day before it gets too hot and before the streets get busy and crowded. And about 10 minutes away from my apartment in Bali is an incredibly beautiful, truly beautiful rainforest that's a holy, sacred sanctuary. I walk past it on my morning walk. And in this incredibly beautiful, sacred sanctuary, which is about the size, about two-thirds the size of McIntyre Park. In this incredibly beautiful, serene, quiet, sacred sanctuary live about 600 incredibly unserene, unquiet, agitated monkeys. So when I pass this sanctuary, since the monkeys don't read the signs about where the limits of the sanctuary are, early in the morning, before things get too busy, there are lots of monkeys in the street. There are cute little monkeys, little baby monkeys. There are mama monkeys feeding their children. There are adolescent monkeys romping with one another. There are grumpy monkeys fighting. And there always are monkeys who are eager to find any extra bananas. So when I walk in the morning, my challenge in walking by the sanctuary or walking in the street by the sanctuary is to successfully remember what matters to me. And at that moment, what matters is successfully completing my walk without a side trip to the emergency room. So I have to really be thoughtful and careful about how I walk through this usually a rather largely dispersed pod of several dozen monkeys who have wandered out of the sanctuary. I have to be attentive, and I have to kind of decide very clearly not to engage. I have to decide very clearly beforehand not to carry bananas with me. They will find them. Or any kind of food. I have to be very clear about where I'm going. And I have to be very clear about not pausing in a way that appears to be threatening or appears to engage with them. And I have to have some skill at remaining calm if, in spite of my best efforts, the monkeys jump on me and start to eat the buttons off my shirt, which has happened. And our minds are like that, aren't they? Sometimes what's in our minds really does start to eat the buttons off our shirts, you know? It just feels so impossible. With the monkeys, sooner or later, the monkeys will tire of that particularly enterprise and will leave, since I've been careful not to feed them. They get fed plenty. So with our thoughts and emotions and perceptions, the challenge really is remembering what matters. Being clear about what matters and making choices that are nourishing, that are wholesome for myself and others, and that let go of any engagement with thoughts, perceptions, narratives, stories that perhaps served at one time but now actually no longer serve. It's a relentless, over and over and over and over and over again, challenge to remember, to commit, to be kind, to forgive ourselves, to start over again. Being clear on the goal and the intention. And I would invite you to reference back to the remembering that you did earlier. This matters to me. Can I allow myself to pause, to remember, and to come back again and again to a life, to a practice that is healing and a deep in goodness for myself and others? We are that goodness. So the way that the metaphor fails is it sort of implies that the task is to kind of get someplace. And in our spiritual practice, it isn't so much that we're trying to get someplace as that we are remembering who we are. you wouldn't be able to formulate that intention, that remembering, if it were not already there. The goodness, the wholesomeness is there. The light is there. The freedom is there. And so the practice really is simply remembering and practicing. And there's nothing special about meditation. It's just one way of practicing. You have your own. So let us all continue. Thank you.